Notice the opening paragraph. The term hell is used in the Bible to describe the eternal abode of the devil, his angels, and those who forget God and ignore his offers and pleas for their salvation. So the inhabitants of hell will be the angels that rebelled against God, the devil and his angels, and those who have rejected God's love, God's mercy. Now, there's a discussion of the origin of Satan and demon spirits, which of course involves the origin of sin. That's quite a deep theological question to raise. When or on what occasion did sin begin? This is the best that I can do in the light of the scriptures. I do not believe that God created sin, but he created an angelic being who did sin. And as far as I'm concerned, when you go back to the place where the devil said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," I will, instead of God's will, when he rebelled against God, that's the beginning of sin. Not sin in the human race, for that was introduced through the fall of Adam. But here is the beginning of sin. Now, if you can do any better than that, you're welcome to it. I would like for you to comment on it. I think you have some insight that would help me. That's far back as I can go. I do know that, according to the scriptures, the devil and perhaps one-third of the angels rebel with him, and they are destined for hell, and so are those who reject God's love and mercy. This is an opinion that I have, and I'll label it as such. I know it raises a lot of questions. I don't believe anyone will be in hell that hadn't had an opportunity to go to heaven. I don't think it was unconditionally fixed back in eternity. My conception of God is simply this: one must reject in some way, I don't know the details, one must reject God to be lost eternally. One's not lost eternally simply because he has a bad nature or because God destined it to be so back in eternity. He is lost because of a decision he made. That's what I believe, and I would not be called a Calvinist. I would be labeled an Arminian, especially by Calvinists. I don't think I'm either one. I think think I just leave the scriptures on it. Now, the fact of hell, nature teaches, natural reason teaches it. The principle of separation of good from bad in every area of intelligent society. The living and the dead are separated. Rubbish and trash, useful things of our homes, schools, businesses, are usually separated, not always, but ideally that's it. Natural consequences require belief in the possibility of hell. If sickness requires hospital, lawlessness requires penitentiaries, ignorance requires schools, hunger and nakedness and cold requires businesses, is it less reasonable that sin requires just judgment? Such reasoning as this, I think, will grow on you. At the bottom of the page, the righteousness of God requires that justice, when spurned, be met with punishment. The justice of God demands hell, doesn't it? The justice of God. Now, when you begin to talk about hell, someone says, do you think that people will suffer in hell for the sins of a short lifetime, suffer forever? I never forget what a state senator said. He came out to hear me preach one night. I'd already planned to preach on hell, and I wasn't going to change for the senator or president or anyone else. I never have done that. I don't intend to start. And I preached it pretty hot and endured. And he just couldn't conceive of that. He felt like it was too harsh. People go to hell because they reject God's only way of escape. Now, where do people get the idea that hell will transform people and that they will no longer rebel against God? You know, there's a statement in Revelation 22:11. Someone turn to that and read it. It tells us about the fixedness, the permanency of character. If a man dies a rebel against God, if he dies sinning against God, he will be that forever. Death will work no change in that sense. Who has it? Revelation 22:11.
You want me to read?
Yes. Out loud.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still.
However a man dies, that's the way he'll be forever. If one dies a rebel against God, he'll be a rebel against God forever. And it seems to me, as long as he sins against God, God ought to take care of the situation, which means the justice of God and the holiness of God demands that that man be punished. We have our penitentiaries and places where People are cut off from society when they're persistent lawbreakers. I, for one, believe in capital punishment.
Amen.
And I was just reading recently where a man had killed some people, and the jury had found him guilty and said death sentence. And this man made a real touching plea to the judge, and the judge cut it to a life imprisonment. The man broke out of prison and has killed some more people, and is coming up for the second trial. Let me tell you that people are mixed up some on this thing of dealing with criminals. It is not altogether that you are simply punishing an individual for crimes. It is another reason, the protection of society as such. Isn't that true? Must we reach the place here in America where we are so easy on the criminal that we will not be able to get out on the streets with any measure of safety? Hell is right and hell is reasonable. An eternal hell. People go there because they reject Jesus Christ, but they continue to sin and rebel against God. An eternal rebel. An eternal incorrigible. That is something, isn't it? If you die filthy, you'd be filthy forever. That, of course, raises the question of what kind of a body will the unsaved person get? Can some of you explain that? As far as I know, the Bible doesn't just specifically tell us. However, it seems reasonable that everything else being true in the scriptures, that this eternally condemned, filthy, unholy, rebellious person will get a body in keeping with his soul. So it won't be a good body. Why would we conclude it'd be a good body? It will be a body that will forever endure. You know, if hell in its reality could get hold of us, I think it would make quite a difference in our outlook. When you work next to people that are lost, or you have them under your roof, you have to remember that people who die without Jesus Christ are lost, irrevocably lost. Well, of course, the main reason for believing in hell, reason for believing in hell, of course, is that the revelation of God or the Bible teaches it. I'll take the Bible any time before I'll take the testimony of these fellows who say they have died and gone to hell and come back. I believe I'll take the Bible and just forget all about those experiences. I believe I'll take what the Bible says about heaven and not these fellows who say they have died and gone to heaven and come back. We got a lot of them now that claim they've had that experience. They've gone into the other world and they have come back. And they tell us about it. And people are exalting those experiences above the written revelation. If you want to know about the eternal abode of both the saved and the unsaved, go to the Word of God.
Amen.
and find out what it's like. Now, the place and persons in hell, near the, in fact, the bottom of page 214, from the language in which Jesus spoke, three different words are translated hell. Now, this would be quite a study in itself. There's the word Hades. Hades. It means, actually, unknown. Hades, unknown. It's the place of departed spirits. Always did like roses. You know what I mean. The Hades, everybody listening now, Hades is not the final abode of the unsaved. Where the unsaved are now, please listen, where the unsaved are now is not their eternal home. And I believe I can go ahead, might as well go ahead and say that where God's people are now is not their final abode. They have something better. And the unsaved have something worse. You say, now what do you mean? I'm afraid I better just get right into the explanation as best I can. First of all, let me illustrate it this way. If a man is apprehended today for some heinous crime, he's put in jail. Ordinarily, that's what it's supposed to happen. He's put in jail. His trial is set. So he stays in jail until the trial. Then let's say he's tried and found guilty and put in to the penitentiary. Let's say he's put in for a lifetime. Okay, now people who die without Jesus Christ go to Hades, a place of unrest, a place of punishment, God's jailhouse. And they're going to stay there until the great white throne judgment, when they're going to be brought out and judged, not to determine whether or not they're condemned, they're already condemned, but to judge how great will be their punishment in hell. Then at the white throne judgment, which is when, in relation to the millennium? At the end of the millennium, they are judged. I'm talking about the eternally lost. They are judged and judged according to their works and cast off from God forever, and that's called the second death. And the word that is used there is Gehenna. You say, well, what is Gehenna? Well, God used things that people could understand, and we know that in the valley of Hinnom, in Jerusalem, I've been in that very area and thought so much about it. Of course, we don't have anything now there like they had back in the Old Testament days, but if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that at one time, even animal sacrifices, human sacrifices were made in that valley, and it became a cursed place, and it became the dump heap of Jerusalem, surrounding area. There they dumped the bodies of dead animals. There they dumped the bodies of criminals, and there the worms ate on those decaying bodies, and they kept the fire burning day and night. And Jesus used something like that to tell what hell will be like. Gehenna, the final abode. Tartarus has in it the idea of prison, caverns. Well, I think the idea is that the unsaved are prisoners right now and kept in prison until the judgment, and then will be judged and cast away forever. Now, let me read to you, middle of page 215, excuse me. The words of Dr. Kyle M. Yates. So hateful was the place to the Jews, and he's talking about the Valley of Hinnom, that they cast into it the awful and refuse of the city of Jerusalem, as well as the dead bodies of animals and of criminals who had been executed there. It is said that fires were kept burning constantly in this valley to consume the dead bodies, to keep down the horrible odors of corrupt, decomposing flesh. Because the fires were kept burning continuously, the place came to be called the Gehenna of Fire. Now, someone's ready to speak up, as I've had a few times in my ministry. Don't you think that a lot of this talk about hell is just figurative? It's just figures. Yes, I think there's a good many figures used about heaven and hell. I think hell is far worse than you and I could ever understand. And heaven is far better than anything we could possibly understand. I think God does the best he can with such poor students as we are. You know what I mean? He must talk in things that we can understand. But please, folk, do not think that when we talk of figures that we're denying something or toning it down a little bit. I'm not saying I believe that at all, for I don't, but I'm just saying, put a big if there, a mile high if you want to. Suppose that all of the references to hell is simply figurative. Then it is infinitely worse. You haven't gained a thing in the world. You just say, well, the figures of speech. If you take the figures of speech, there's no way in the world to make it a vacation land. What is hell like? Where is it? I know. I sat down one day and began to figure on this, and I'd like to give you a little information in addition to what's found in the book. I'm trying to locate hell, and in the sense of locating it and perhaps describing it as well. And as I said the other day, I'm not interested in the geography of heaven. I don't believe you can say, well, I know exactly where it is and locate it like you can Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't believe you can do that. I don't think that's necessary. It is where God is. enough. I could turn on around and say that, that hell is where God is not. And that'd go a long ways, wouldn't it? Well, first, hell is beneath. Now this is some of the scriptures that deal with it. Proverbs 15:24. Proverbs 15:24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Well, now that's just little information. It's referred to as being down. Heaven's always referred to as being up. And then in Matthew 11:23, it is said to be down. Down. Matthew 11:23, thou Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Now sin has a downward drag. It pulls down. It gravitates to hell. That's one way of saying it. That sin, if let alone, pulls down. And the final gravitation is to hell. Then next, hell is away from God. You say, work in the details. I don't think the details are given. We have a work in the Solomon Islands, and someone asked me the other day, said, where's the Solomon Islands? And I said, well, it's out in the Pacific. It's pretty close to Australia. But when you begin to look, it's just a mere dot. You can hardly see it. I don't believe I could without my bifocal. It's just a dot. But that's the Solomon Islands. Can you point out with the same specific reference and say, hell is here, heaven is there? I don't think the Bible does that. Bible's not a book to satisfy our curiosity. We know enough about heaven. We know enough about hell. God has seen to that. Hell is away from God. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me. Now, another scripture, please, if you'll put this down, is 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. This has a great deal to say to me. I think it does to you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire. Now, I don't believe that means a literal flame of fire. You say, well, what do you think it means? I think it means he's coming back in judgment. And fire, used in a figurative sense, always signifies judgment over and over again. I'm not denying the scriptures. I'm trying to interpret. Jesus is coming back in judgment. Someone says he's coming back in flaming fire. He's coming back in judgment. Listen to the rest of it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey or hearken not to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you get this. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Unsaved people now know something of the glory of God. In every budding flower, the springtime, the showers, well, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And they do that right now, unsaved. You say, well, God's everywhere. God will always be everywhere. No. God is everywhere now. I don't want to try to oversimplify, or at least you think I'm oversimplifying it, but the time will come, I think, in a lot of this scripture and others, when God will, as it were, circumscribe himself and say, my power, my presence, my glory will go out so far and no further. And out beyond the presence and power and glory of God is hell. He figured the geography out a moment ago. But that's hell. Out beyond the presence, the power, and glory of God. Hell be a place where God will never go. Complete eternal abandonment of God. Cast off from God forever. Eternal separation. God, that's why it's called the second death. The eternal death. Eternal separation from God. Now, that, my friend, is enough to cause me. I won't go there. I don't have any idea going there. I'd like for my friends to miss it. Hell is a place where heaven is not. Oh, that's simple, please, but it's put it down. Luke 16:24-26. There's a great gulf that separates people in hell from God and God's people. A great impassable gulf. So there's only one way to stay out of hell and no way to get out. How wide is that gulf? It's wide enough that no one can ever get out. I thought it was interesting in studying about the prison, Alcatraz. It is not an active prison anymore, I don't think. But if you recall, Alcatraz is a sort of a rock island just off the coast of California. And it's surrounded by cold, treacherous currents of the ocean. And men trying to escape have gone down in those waters. As far as I know, there never was a man that escaped from Alcatraz. There never will be anyone escape from hell. You ever stop to think that if people could suffer in hell 1,000 years and then get out and go into heaven forever, it'd be bad, but not like this. Suppose they could be there 1,000,000 years, but they suffer 1,000,000 years in hell and then be released and go into heaven then forever. And that'd be bad, but that's not like it is.